News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, and happy Mardi Gras.
It is that time of year. How fast, how quickly it comes around. The first Mardi Gras parade of 2025 coming up tomorrow on Dauphin Island, Cru de la Dauphine. Then we get a week to make sure everything's right. And then the Dauphin Island People's Parade, and then we'll be rolling in Mobile before too long after that. And today is our annual kickoff for the Moon Pie Minute here on FM Talk 106.5 and in studio. It's always fantastic when either of these gentlemen are in, but when they come in together.
Yeah.
Oh my, bar the door.
It's Mardi Gras.
That's right. Stephen McNair, the voice of Moon Pie Minute, and Reynolds Brabner, who is a very close friend of FM Talk 106.5 and also the son of our good friend Rennie Brabner, who created the Moon Pie Minute. Reynolds, I said this morning, we're either at a decade or beyond a decade at this point. It's been a while.
All total, yeah. I think his first year was 2014.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah, well, I say that 2013 is when he pitched it to Sean, and kind of, you know, Sean's all right. Well, let's roll the dice and see how it goes.
Yeah, and it's been a from the very beginning when I saw your dad Rennie, when the idea started forming and that talk started, and everyone's like, that is a great idea, and we can't think of a better person to write the story of Mardi Gras than Rennie Brabner. He just was so tied in to the whole Mardi Gras scene from way before the season even began to way after Ash Wednesday. And explain to people, and Sean brings this up every year we talk about this, the way that your father, Rennie, described the Moon Pie Minute, not necessarily the history of Mardi Gras.
It was never the history. It was the story. Mm-hmm. History is just facts and this, that, and the other. It's the story that everybody's kind of got their own little spin. You know, it kind of checks out, but, you know, that's what really made it.
You know, your dad, who I worked with at iHeart for years and years, he was so Mardi Gras. He was so Mobile. He took a shot and bought a house in DeTante's Square.
DeTante Square back in the 60s.
Might have been the first guy to do that, really. Or as far as that generation.
There weren't too many other folks down there when they bought the apartments.
That's a commitment right there.
Yes.
And then, of course, he did all kinds of work for years at the cathedral. So many people of the Catholic faith knew Rennie from that. And Mardi Gras is essentially, you could say, it's kind of a Catholic thing, too.
Yeah.
So he was the perfect man at the right time to even come up with that idea. But it does not surprise me that your father came up with the idea of the Moon Pie Minute.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, of course, you know, living down there growing up, I mean, you could argue it's kind of in me and my sister's DNA.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I tell folks all the time that I didn't know until I got to college that not going to a parade was something people did. I just assumed everybody went to every parade.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, the excitement reaches far and wide. When I moved into Alabama, I was 10 years old and moved in Grove Hill up in Clark County. And the people up there are just as wild about Mardi Gras as we are down here. Now, they have a bit of a longer trip and they are more likely to book a hotel room. But the state and the whole Southeast gets fired up for this. Stephen McNair is in studio with us as well. And here over the last couple of years, Stephen, you've taken on this rather large duty of telling the story of Mardi Gras.
It's been an honor, but it's also quite a job to step into those kind of shoes and to keep a tradition going that people love so much, that, you know, people put so much into. So it's a privilege to do it.
Well, I'll tell you, Steve, the first time I heard you do it, and Rennie Reynolds, I don't know what your thoughts were. I'm sure they were all positive, but when I heard Stephen do the first Moon Pie Minute, I was like, well, if there was one guy in this town that we were going to go ahead and deputize.
I was immediately sold.
I was. Just a great, great, great job, man.
I appreciate that. We try to put a lot into it because, as you say, it's one thing to look up facts and figures and dates and, you know, what happened on what date. But when you're telling the kind of the tapestry story of what may or may not have happened, and without a lot of eyewitnesses, there's a lot of room for interpretation.
Yeah, and you as a lover of history, a true historian, you know, you love the facts, right? You love the things that actually happened at this time and where. But we know that, you know, myth, it makes up a whole lot of history, and it's just as important in many ways as actual events, to the point where myths sometimes become, it's like they're real. And so much of Mardi Gras just reminds me of, I don't know, the Greek gods, and just it's historic, it's traditional. And in this day and age, it's tough to keep a tradition like that alive. But Mobile is all in on that and keeping these certain traditions the way they've been.
It's funny you talk about Greek mythology and kind of Roman stories, because the themes of the early parades focused on exactly those stories. And as they say, a little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, kind of letting yourself go and letting yourself believe in these stories for a little while is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, so 12th night, past that, and we've already had some balls to start things off. But tomorrow we start rolling, and more balls on the way also before we start rolling in Mobile.
Yeah, that's right. First parades hit the streets on Dolphin Island tomorrow. And then tomorrow night, the Camellia Ball. The Domino Ball kicks off, and so that's going to be the men of the Athelstan Club in downtown, and then from there, we're kind of off and running for the season.
You know, my radio career started in a series of towns in Georgia, and I enjoyed each of those places where I lived, and then it was 1995, we took a shot at, let's go to Mobile, let's check this thing out. There's been no city, no community that's come close to basically grabbing my heart. Love this city, and I love everything about it, and I love Mardi Gras. I love the downtown area. It's just a very unique place. And you talk about, if you love history, you might as well be from Mobile, because we've got it, right?
And you know what's interesting about Mardi Gras from people who aren't from here is that they think it must be sponsored. They think it must be subsidized by the government or sponsored by Budweiser. They don't understand that these are organically grown private organizations that raise their own funds and volunteer to spend their own money for essentially the greatest live parade and live performance possible in the streets.
Yeah, and also sacrifice a lot of their time as well. As if you know anyone who
I don't know that it's sacrificing.
Well, there's a lot of work that goes into it leading into the season. This season will be a lot different than years past, mainly because of the project going downtown with the Civic Center being demolished, with a little help from Mother Nature as well last week. But that creates a parking situation, more so than, I guess, the effect on the actual parade route. Will the parade routes be affected by this, and what's parking looking like this year?
Yeah, it's going to be slightly different, but the parade routes really will not change. So by and large, you know, we're all used to kind of Route A being the primary route. So really, it's going to remain the same. The biggest difference is going to be parking, but at the same time, there's going to be plenty of parking downtown at affordable prices, not only for the parades, but also for the balls themselves. So the best place to go is cityofmobile.org/Mardi Gras, and that will show you all of your parking options, all of the route options, all the parade timing, time of start, and it's really the one-stop shop.
Mm-hmm.
So especially with the cruise ship not in town, that's going to be an option as well.
Ah, that'll be a big help, I would imagine.
That's right.
But the signs, and we talk about this every year, the parking signs, like you can't park here, you can't ignore signs just because parking will be a little different this year.
Yeah, you can't park on the route, but otherwise there's plenty of parking downtown, and most of the balls are going to be moved to the convention center.
Hmm.
You know, there's 17 organizations that previously used the Civic Center, and so they're kind of, you know, nomads for the next 2 years, but the convention center stepped up, and so most of them are going to be there. Some of them are going to be at the grounds. I believe, is it Crew of Columbus?
They're one of them, yeah. And they've actually already had several out there over the last week or so.
All right, yeah. And we've got plenty of great locations. But, like I said earlier, we try to keep traditions a certain way around here. So I imagine some of these crews, and as you've talked to them, as this whole shift has been going on for the last couple of years, we've been talking about it, I imagine there was still some apprehension, like, I don't know, we're moving things around, it's going to be a little weird this year, but by now, are most folks on board with kind of the change in how things went?
They are. I mean, you're always going to have some hand-wringing when there's the unknown, but at the same time, in 2 years, when we have the best new arena in the United States, I think we're all going to say it was worth the wait.
You know, something else about Mardi Gras, I think it's this element of it gets underrated. It brings the city together. It brings everybody in the city together on all these street corners. And Reynolds, I mean, you had the unique opportunity growing up just off of downtown. When Mardi Gras hit, it was, what did that feel like to a little boy?
Well, for me and my sister, we had all of the friends and all the great schools because we lived so close. but, you know, it really was a family event for us.
Yeah.
You know, all our cousins would come in town, your dad's friends that maybe he hadn't seen throughout the year. We always knew we'd see him that weekend.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
We have our spot. You know, a lot of other families have their spot where they've always stood.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all walks of life that, by and large, get mixed together, jumping up and down, screaming and hollering. And it doesn't, it's nothing. You get hit with some bees or an elbow in the head.
No big deal.
No big deal.
But everybody's together, and they're all just joyful. That doesn't happen in other cities.
No.
And it's for an extended period of time, too. It's not like one day. It's far from that.
Right. I feel like on the after deep draw side of it is probably a little greasier than the front end of it.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put it, I would say.
As gentle as I could be.
Reynolds Brabner and Stephen McNair, as we get ready here in just a couple minutes to launch the first Moon Pie Minute of 2025. Like I said, I watched your father, Rennie, bring in just books and books and papers he had already written all over just to cram all of this great information, this story of Mardi Gras, into a minute each day from the day before the first Dauphin Island Parade, which is today, all the way through Ash Wednesday. And, if you've ever been an editor of anything, sometimes editing is tougher than...
Editing is the toughest part of the process.
Right. Especially when you got to get it into a minute. And I watched Rennie do that, and I felt so blessed that I got to hear him talking about it as this was all going down. So the kind of behind-the-scenes stuff. But, Stephen, you've now undertaken that great and difficult job, and you've been doing it for several years now. I imagine, you're at least getting into the swing of things after doing it for a few years, but just so people know, these are different Moon Pie Minutes than last year's Moon Pie Minutes.
They
are. And the year before, you're bringing new information every day.
Yeah, we try to, some of them remain the same in the sense that the polka dots are going to be on the same night every year, and
right.
Order of Myths are going to be on the same day, and things like that. But we try to bring new things, like we had one last year about Bertha, the giant spotlight that rolls, and, of course, the colors of Mardi Gras. What is Epiphany? Flambeaux, where did they come from? Doubloons, who used them first? A lot of the kind of trivia and interesting facts that go into all the little things that make the parade so special. But to your point about editing, it is exponentially easier to do a 10-minute segment than it is to do a 60-second segment.
Yeah, and we've also got to thank a wonderful Mobilian as well, very proud to be a Mobilian, Sean Sullivan, who, of course, this is his radio station, but he doesn't treat it like he treats it like, come on in.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody come on in. Let's reflect and represent our city, and when it comes to any issue, be it very serious or be it very joyful like Mardi Gras, he's always ready to give back to the city that he loves.
He is, and that's also what kind of gives me the encouragement to kind of reach for different topics and, mm-hmm. Think about things a little bit differently. And, sometimes you find yourself deep in the archives looking at primary sources and and articles, and sometimes you just get a phone call from a friend that says, did you know this thing?
Yeah, that's, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, without further ado, let's roll this first Moon Pie Minute of 2025, and we'll come back with Stephen and Reynolds. And if you have any questions on the text line, I have some questions from these parade greats. Anything you need to know about Mardi Gras, either of these two men could tell you. So we'll get to that on the other side, but let's do it right now. Roll the first Moon Pie Minute of 2025.
The Feast of the Epiphany has come and gone. King cakes are on the shelves, and it's time to deck the halls in purple and gold. Welcome to the 2025 Moon Pie Minute, where in 32 short days, the city will come to a halt. Not from another snowstorm, but from a showering of moon pies and beads as we celebrate the original and most tradition-filled Mardi Gras in the United States. This year will be one for the books as we bury the ashes of the Civic Center and patiently await the new Joe Kane Arena. Balls will be moved to new locations, parking will be different yet still available, and the parade routes will remain largely the same. Tune in every day to learn something new about Carnival on the Gulf Coast as we discuss the parades, traditions, balls, and pageantry that makes Mobile Mardi Gras south of the Salt Line so special. So don't forget, the knife stays in the king cake box, never wear green, and let the good times roll.
I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5. Police in Atmore have decided against backing a curfew to fight recent gun violence in their community. A community meeting was held last night after recent shootings left three men dead in November and December. Atmore Police Chief Chuck Brooks led the meeting. In the end, a majority of people felt a curfew was not the best solution. Instead, Chief Brooks and Atmore Police will focus efforts on neighborhood watch. State troopers say the man whose body was found Wednesday floating near the Mobile Bayway was killed. The body of 33-year-old Donald Neese of Mobile was pulled from the water about 7:30 Wednesday morning between the Causeway and Daphne exits. State troopers say they've determined someone drove Neese's car away from the crime scene, and they're working with authorities in Florida to find that person and Neese's vehicle. Police in Gulf Shores have made an arrest in a hit-and-run that left a woman in critical condition. 43-year-old Gustavo Licona Hernandez of Calera, Alabama, is charged with leaving the scene of an accident with injuries. Investigators believe he hit a 77-year-old woman from Minnesota. I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5.
Can you feel it? It's almost here. Get ready for the Senior Bowl, Saturday, February 1st at Hancock Whitney Stadium. Join me for the street party and concerts with Eli Young Band and Sammy Kershaw on January 31st in downtown Mobile. Then, prepare to see starting quarterbacks from Ohio State, Alabama, Notre Dame, Oregon, Ole Miss, and more take the field. Tickets on sale now at SeniorBowl.com. The draft starts in Mobile.
Sure, you can pay $99 for a window tint installation, but consider that a down payment on what you'll end up spending to replace it later. ProTint Window Tinting in Mobile offers a professionally installed quality product and backs it with a no-fault lifetime guarantee. Choose quality and save money in the long run. Make an appointment with ProTint. Call 802-1234. Don't learn the hard way. Make it easy on yourself. For quality, set an appointment with ProTint. 802-1234.
Get an education on blockchain tech with Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall. The constantly changing universe of blockchain technology is way deeper than just cryptocurrency. Scott talks about the hows and whys of the blockchain, plus introduces you to companies that are pioneering this brave new world. Beyond the Blockchain. Beyond the Blockchain. Tuesday nights at 8 on FM Talk 106.5.
From the PumpTire.com traffic center, an accident involving five vehicles been moved out of the Wallace Tunnel to the Water Street off the right shoulder. Also, other accidents clearing at Government in Rochelle, Dolphin Street in North Sage, and Old Shell Road at Stadium Drive. Westbound I-10 slow. We've got showers downtown. Bill Island Personal Injury Lawyers are lawyers you can count on for your case. From car, motorcycle, and truck accidents to slip and falls, animal bites, wrongful death, and more. For free consultation, go to LawCallBill.com and call 251-255-5000. And I'm Kane with the FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
What's going on, Dio? Got a good group in here this morning talking Mardi Gras. Why not? First Moon Pie Minute just aired, and what a great tradition! I hope that goes on forever on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, and as a reminder, it's not up yet. It will be later today. We have a page on the website, fmtalk1065.com. Once you look at the top, a little later today, it'll say Moon Pie Minute, and we'll have parade routes listed there. Also, day by day, the Moon Pie Minute will go up. So if you miss a day or you want to go back and catch up, you'll be able to do it from right there at the website. We have the voice of Moon Pie Minute, Stephen McNair, in studio with us right now, as well as Reynolds Brabner, whose father, Rennie, started the Moon Pie Minute a while back. And yeah, it's here. They'll be rolling on Dolphin Island tomorrow. So let's talk about some things people need to know. And I imagine it's not the majority of our audience. There may be some first-timers out there, first-time paraders. So What would you say if you're down to party, like you're coming to Mardi Gras to party, don't have as many responsibilities, let's say, as some of us might have?
Quit staring at me.
What, and I won't say what parade, but what's the best party day? I mean, and I know that's an argument that goes around. There's folks that say, obviously, it's Fat Tuesday. Sure. Others say, it's Joe Kane Day. Some like the day before Joe Kane Day. What if you're coming down and you're just looking to have a good time? Which day do you recommend, Stephen?
The good part is the answer to all of that is yes. So, you know, for some people, it's kind of that Thursday night rolling into the big weekend. Really, from there, the lid comes off all the way through Fat Tuesday. But between the larger organizations that start parading with Crew at Columbus, Stripers, you know, all the way through MOT and, of course, into Fat Tuesday, you're gonna find something, whether it's for the kids, whether it's the floral parade or something like that during the day, or, you know, whether you want to be 20 people deep on that Saturday night when Vernadine rolls through. It's something for everybody.
You know, also Mardi Gras doesn't stay the same. It keeps growing. Organizations emerge. Parades emerge. It's pretty cool.
And that's the organic factor of it, where if you want to have a good time and you've got about 20 or 30 of your best friends and you want to rent some floats or have a second line or have a ball, there's no rule saying you can't. And that's the whole point of Mardi Gras, is it's really democratic in that the streets are open. The point is to have a great time before Lent, and you decide your method of doing that.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, all these different parades and balls popping up in different municipalities. We're not used to seeing them there. I'm excited this year. My children will be in a parade for the first time when FM Talk 106.5 rolls in the floral parade with St. Jude.
They're coming with us.
So they'll be on the float. Wow. And I'm excited about that. But, you know, last year I was down in Gulf Shores for Joe Kane Day, as they were, and my parents taking part in the Mardi Gras festivities down there. It's a lot newer than the Mardi Gras in Mobile, but now we're seeing Loxley with their first one coming up this year. Saralands is really growing. There's outside of Mobile, these are getting pretty popular.
Yeah, Daphne is expanding. Of course, the Fairhope parades have been rolling for generations. So, yeah, and that's a great thing about it. Seeing more on Dolphin Island, they have three different events down there now. So the more, the better.
You know, as far as throws, it seems every year there's a new popular throw, at the very least. And I know this year there's been a lot of talk about a Civic Center throw. I think those are pretty popular. But and we might not even know some of the most popular throws that will come from this coming Mardi Gras season. But that's another interesting thing, too. I'm sure if you or Reynolds, if you look back at your collection over the years, there's some one-offs that you just won't see again.
Yeah, there's definitely some stuff for the pandemic that stand out. Last year, I remember catching some go to church or the devil will get you beads. what's in your collection?
So, before the pandemic, one parade, two consecutive floats were throwing toilet paper rolls. So that was a good one. And then last year, actually, caught a pair of Trump socks with his hair, you know, on the side and everything. Outside of that, let's see, we have the ice cream bars that get thrown in one parade. The Crichton Leprechaun.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And then the guy that throws all the Kaneka sausage.
That's. I was going to ask if you've caught any Kaneka sausage from any.
I have, and we usually take it and, you know, cook it right away. So there's, you know, no question.
That is too good. We'll keep this conversation going here just a minute after the break when we go to the news here in a second, because I have just a couple more questions for you. And then, you know, this all rolls into Fat Tuesday and Ash Wednesday as well. And the way we wrap up Mardi Gras, we'll get into some more and also some questions on the text line, 251-343-0106, as we kick Mardi Gras off here on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.
Reynolds Brabner, Stephen McNair. Reynolds, of course, the son of Rennie Brabner, who instituted the Moon Pie Minute, and Stephen, who has carried on with that tradition that Rennie started and done it so beautifully. It's 8:30 at FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Dan and Dalton, and good to have you along. 251-343-0106.
With SRN News, I'm Mitch Thomason. Federal investigators asking the public to have patience as they work to pinpoint the cause of this week's deadly mid-air collision near Reagan National Airport. Some victims' bodies have yet to be recovered. President Trump has signed an executive order directing the FAA to scrap any DEI hiring policies it has in place. The president's Department of Government Efficiency says it's already saving American taxpayers about $1 billion per day. We'd like to get that up to a figure of around $3 billion. a federal law barring those under the age of 21 from buying handguns from licensed firearm dealers has been struck down by a federal appeals court in New Orleans. And the FDA approving the first kind of a new pain medication in decades, this one an alternative to opioids, which can pose a serious risk of addiction. On Wall Street, stocks opening higher this morning. More details at SRNNews.com.
If you are 65 or older, you know this, inflation is hitting everyone hard right now, especially when it comes to healthcare. Over the last 10 years, healthcare costs have skyrocketed by, get this, 230%. If you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are still out-of-pocket expenses like deductibles and copayments, and they really add up. But here's some good news. MediShare 65 Plus is designed to fill in those gaps and help protect you from rising healthcare costs. At only $99 per month up to age 75, you get peace of mind at a price you can afford. And MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around 30 years. It's not some big impersonal thing. It's a community of people helping each other, business owners, pastors, retirees. People love it. MediShare 65 Plus just makes sense. To learn more, give them a call. They're great to talk to. They'll offer to pray with you each time you call, too. Call now. 833-SHARE-55. That's 833-SHARE-55. 833-SHARE.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly cloudy skies this morning with showers, then mostly sunny this afternoon with a few showers and highs in the lower 70s. Tonight, mostly clear and cooler, lows in the mid-40s. And then tomorrow, sunny and pleasant with afternoon readings in the upper 60s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
Enhance your outdoor experience with the Kubota RTV from Parrish Tractor. With powerful performance, speed, and mobility for any terrain, from prepping deer patches to hauling gear. It starts at $15,999 or $285 for 72 months at your local Kubota dealer. Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale.
For most of us, it's cold outside right now, but if it's cold inside, you may have a problem. I'm Danny Lippert with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about keeping your home warmer right after this.
If you like this home improvement content on your radio, you'll really love watching it. Today's Homeowner TV is now available on a variety of streaming platforms, so you can binge nearly 600 episodes with real homeowners, real home improvement, and real fun. We cover every facet of home improvement from a practical perspective you can use at your house. So sit back and soak up over two decades of expert advice, all on your schedule. See where you can watch at todayshomeowner.com/stream.
Did you know that 35% of all heat lost in your home occurs through holes, and about 7% of your heat is lost through poor attic insulation? So correcting both of those issues can reduce your heating cost by about 40%. That's just by filling the holes in your house and insulating your attic properly. Start by sealing the gaps in your attic at pipe and duct penetrations with caulk. Add gaskets to electrical outlets and switches on exterior walls, and use foam to seal holes where drain pipes penetrate floors and walls. Then check weather stripping at doors and windows. Finally, add insulation in your attic and crawl spaces to bring the R value up to the minimum standards for your area. You can find these standards at energystar.gov under the Home Improvement tab. I'm Danny Lippert with tips for today's homeowner.
Over 90% of smartphone users use the FM Talk 106.5 app. Upload media. Choose a podcast. Listen live. Use your voice and speak up. The FM Talk 106.5 app in the iTunes or Google Play app stores.
From the Chuck Stevens Automotive Traffic Center, delays continue across the Bayway with heavy showers in the downtown area. Also near I-165, five-vehicle accident, I-10 westbound ramp from Water Street. Still there at Government, Rochelle, Dauphin, and North Sage, and Old Shell and Stadium Drive. At Kirk Doctor at 5683 U.S. Highway 90 West in Theodore. They've got the all-new Yamaha EFI Gas Quiet Tech Golf Carts. They're gas-powered with 250 miles per gallon on a 5-gallon tank. See them at KirkDoctor.com. And I'm Kane with their FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
Talking all things Mardi Gras, all things Mobile, with our guests, but not really guests, friends, that wandered the way in here because we leave the door open. It's Reynolds Pravner along with Stephen McNair talking about the Moon Pie Minute. And we're also talking a little bit about, this is I guess the Comet Cowboys might have a snow joke or two in there, do you think?
I would imagine they would.
as they try and figure out what do we focus in on that everybody will get a laugh out of. We got 8 inches of snow out of nowhere. That was bizarre.
I'm sure they will come up with some doozies. And that's just what we'll see on the street.
Yeah, they have plenty of political news items they can
they
use
do.
As well,
they
I would
do.
Say. And we are talking all things Mardi Gras. So one big change this year, at least for the balls, not really the parade route, but that's the Civic Center, the arena project as they demolish the old Civic Center, I guess I'll call it. And it is relatively old. I mean, there's older buildings out in the U.S., but it's certainly the Civic Center that has now fallen has a special place in Mobile's hearts, and a big part of that is Mardi Gras.
It looks real old right now.
Yeah, it's seen better days, but I tell you, the vision of Mayor Stimson and the administration to be able to follow through on the plan for the new arena, to find the funding for it, it's going to be a game changer, not only for the city, but really for the entire part of the state.
Yeah, and I wonder if there's already a little jostling for who gets to be the first organization to hold a ball in the arena. We were talking just out during the break kind of about the history of the now fallen Civic Center. When did they start partying there? When did they start holding balls there? Was it pretty much immediately after it was built?
It was. So the first ball that was held on site was December 31st, 1964, and it was the Strikers, which is the oldest continually active Mystic Society in the United States, and they are still very active in Mobile. And of course, if you know your Mardi Gras history, and you'll hear more about this during the season, if it wasn't for the Strikers and the Cowbellions from Mobile, there would really be no Mardi Gras in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that rivalry getting ready to ramp up as well.
Yes, it always did. It's so much fun. You were talking about favorite days. I'm thinking that mine might be Saturday because of the floats that the Mystics of Time.
Right.
And so the day kind of, the anticipation of that parade, you can kind of feel it in the crowd. There's a lot of little ones there because they're excited to see the dragons and all. But it's almost like the lead up to a big game. We're into it and excited about it because we know what's about to happen. Now, all of Mardi Gras is sensational. Something about that Saturday night. So I think I like the day on Saturday down there and maybe dropping by and having a beer somewhere or just grabbing one from somebody's cooler on the side of the street.
There's something really special about the anticipation of Vernadine and Verna and Dean all coming down the street. And, you know, one of the cool aspects of the new arena is it will allow for floats to come inside.
Oh, wow.
And so if you've ever been to one of the larger balls in New Orleans in the Superdome, you know, they can do that. And so that is one of the plans moving forward once completion.
Yeah. Wow. And you can see in the mock-ups and just from the discussions that have been had in city council that they want Mardi Gras, that theme, to be alive in the new arena. And you know, it's obvious with those two massive murals that they're trying to keep safe and move into the new one, and so thankful that those weren't affected last week by the collapse
they're now keeping them at my apartment, by the way.
But aren't they also trying to put like a, and this may be too in the weeds, but maybe like a perch from the new Civic Center arena where down the line you'll be able to see parades from up there? Wasn't that something in one of the mock-ups?
Yeah, there's a balcony of a gallery that kind of encircles about 50% of the new arena as a nice outdoor space. So you're exactly right. So you'll be able to kind of watch the parades come and go from the arena. You know, the goal is to have it really ready to go in 2 years.
Yeah.
And so the question is, you know, who's going to be the first? Well, I mean, as soon as they wrap things up for that season, you know, it's going to be first come, first serve.
Yep.
But right now, everything's on track.
Yeah. I also wonder who's going to be the first act to come to the new arena.
that's a big question, too. Stephen, also, you've given me some advice over the years, Mardi Gras advice. And, you know, I've got these two kids, right, 4 and 6. And while Mobile has the family-friendly Mardi Gras, we sell ourselves on that. As far as, you know, those listening that maybe they want to take their grandkids for the first time or they want to take their kids to their first parade, What are some good ones maybe early in the day? Or I know in the past you said the Fairhope one's a really good one for kids, but there's some in Mobile as well.
That's right. Yeah, Fairhope parades are extremely family-friendly. You know, they're always a good time. Those are in the evening, but for the day parades in the city of Mobile, the floral parade runs twice through the season. And, you know, not only is that the juvenile court from the Carnival Association, but it's also school floats, it's youth organizations. It's really a great afternoon to spend with your family where you can get on the barricades up front, see things very clearly. They're a good time.
Saturday and Monday, right? Is that the floral parades? Is it Saturday? Yeah, Saturday before and the Monday.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Fantastic. Hey, 251-343-0106 if you have any questions for Stephen or Reynolds in these last few minutes that we have him in here. By the end, we crown a Mardi Gras king and queen. And how does that whole process, I imagine that process starts fairly early. I mean, they're not figuring it out right now, are they?
Well, it gets a little complicated because you have King Felix, but then you also have King Alexis with MAMGA, and then there's many organizations that also have a queen.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to New Orleans, where the King of Rex kind of serves overarching as the king of New Orleans Mardi Gras, we kind of have a more egalitarian system where, depending on your organization, you may have your own king or queen.
And also talk about the imagery, and we kind of got into it a little earlier with the Greek mythology and how that was part of a focus. When we see the end of the parades, the end of the year, and there's a bit of an act put on, kind of explain what all that represents.
Yeah, it's almost like a public tableau. It's a public play, if you will. And so when you talk to members who ride on these floats and then go to the ball and put on the private tableau, they will tell you that it's almost like that they've been on stage. It's like the public streets become the theater. And that's really the kind of point of putting on a great free show, a spectacle for the public to enjoy, to forget about their lives for a little while, to forget about work. I mean, the whole idea is getting lost in the moment, enjoying good food, seeing friends, and then realizing on Ash Wednesday that you have to come back down to earth, and to dust we will return.
You know, also when you talk about Mardi Gras, I think we take it for granted in Mobile, but when you're up close watching it all happen, the execution of those parades by the police department, I guess primarily, pretty phenomenal. I mean, if you're supposed to, it's like the NFL. If you're supposed to play it at 1 o'clock, you're hitting the rat at 1 o'clock. and then when you hear right after the parade is done, and then you've got all the sirens going off, and you get the cleanup crews, they do a phenomenal job. And it's for basically 3.5 weeks or so.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. If it wasn't for the first responders, and if it wasn't for the logistics with the city employees making sure all of that happened on time and happened correctly, and all the cleanup crews, this just wouldn't be possible. And, you know, one of the analogies I used years ago on the Moon Pie Minute was that it's like an iceberg where the public sees the 10% above the water.
Yeah.
But it's the 90% below that you never see, that's the logistics that make it all possible.
Yeah, really true. And, you know, just hats off to everybody that's involved with making Mardi Gras happen.
Reynolds, thank you again. And we haven't mentioned it on the air, but Reynolds came bearing gifts.
He did.
Mardi Gras.
Always.
The gift. King cake. And why don't we wrap it up talking a little Mardi Gras food? Because there's going to be a lot of cooking going on out there. Tailgating for parades, of course. But we have the moon pies. We have the king cakes. There's just certain foods that come out around Mardi Gras. And then there's a lot of discussion about, you know, what king cakes you are or aren't allowed to eat to actually have eaten.
You're allowed to eat the first one of the season.
Yeah.
When not, which actually Stephen can speak better to that than I can. I'm having trouble remembering some of the things that Dad told me because there were just so many.
when is it acceptable to begin eating king cake?
12th night.
12th night.
Yeah, so 12 days after Christmas, of course, we have the 12 days of Christmas. That's when the season really officially ends from the Christmas season, and we move into the carnival season. So that's why you see the 12th night bakers, which is an organization in New Orleans. They have their ball on that night. And that's when you start to see the Mardi Gras flags come out in Mobile. You see the purple and gold, and the king cakes at the stores.
Yeah, and for those who haven't bit into a king cake, first off, what are you waiting for? But if you bite in and you get something that doesn't really feel or taste like cake, that's probably a baby that was in that king cake. What does that mean?
So the baby, we know the tradition where if you get the baby in your slice, then therefore you have to buy the king cake for the next party. Originally, it was actually a bean, and the concept was find the bean and become a king. And so you kind of became the king of misrule of the party should you find the bean in your king cake. But it all starts with Epiphany. You know, the Feast of Epiphany is really when all this starts. And so in some cultures, they're called Epiphany cakes or even three king cakes because, of course, that's when the three kings visit the Christ child. So it all stems back from, you know, kind of our biblical history and you know, moves forward, of course, into Ash Wednesday. And so it follows the Christian calendar.
Yeah, it's just such a great tradition. And I'm seeing, I don't know if it's more or just I'm seeing more. The houses are decorated. I mean, Midtown, Oakley, downtown, and some even in West Mobile, where the Mobilians are ready for Mardi Gras to begin.
They certainly are, and I'll say that Joseph Brennan sets the tone in Oakley in terms of decorating houses and making sure everybody's ready to go.
Yeah, he leads from the front in that
regard. He does.
Love the Sims guy texting in. He says he's already eaten three cream cheese king cakes, so that's quite a bit under the belt already.
A reminder that it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, you can't start too hot. Well, Stephen Reynolds, thank you guys so much as always. I love seeing you, regardless of the time of year when you drop by, but means a little extra something when it's for Mardi Gras and the launch of the Moon Pie Minute. So I'm sure I'll see you both around here. I'm sure I'll see you both on the parade route as well. And thank you both so much for coming in this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right.
Good to have you guys. Thanks again.
And coming back, we will get to, I know we have someone on the phone line, some texts about the legislative session, which is going to begin. I wouldn't play that one, Dan. That's okay. More of a PSA.
Ah,
and maybe go up to the red ones up there.
Okay.
So we'll talk with y'all about the legislative session coming up and some of the things at the top of mind for the legislators that are getting ready to head to Montgomery. And we'll tell you who's coming up on the Jeff Poor Show. That and a whole lot more on Mobile Mornings.
8:47 now, Dan and Dalton. And good to have you along. We'll try to get to the phone lines here in just a moment.
To go on the Silent Rampart.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8:51. Good to have you along. Good morning, Grout Talk right there. I love that.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
It is. And like Stephen wisely said, and I think he wisely says every year,
It's a
marathon, not a sprint.
You don't want to finish first on the first day.
No. And come Wednesday, March the, what would it be? Wednesday, March the 5th, we will all have remembered that wise lesson, some of us, by going and breaking the lesson again. 8:51. Let's jump on the phone lines. I believe we have, is it Michael that's on the line with us? Good morning, Michael.
That's correct. I'm in Point Clear, and I don't want to break continuity, so instead of Carpe diem, we'll do carpe crustacean, which is seasoned shrimp. This is about jubilees and that bill that's coming up in the legislature where you would not have to have a fishing license to participate in a jubilee is really a change that needs to happen. Because it used to be that you did not have to have a fishing license. And I firmly believe that that's a backdoor discrimination policy. It really is, because most of the people who get tickets are older, poor, and a lot of our black community. And Senator Elliott, I really applaud him for this. He really took a proactive role in doing this. So
yeah, and you know, I think State Representative Matt Simpson also jumping on this, and he's bringing that bill in the House. And this is one of those things, Mike, where there's a lot of folks on both sides, and a lot of folks that normally agree on things seem to be on opposite sides on this.
Yeah, it's weird.
There was a text earlier, and I'm trying to find it again, but basically saying the opposite of you, that by taking away fishing licenses, this could get out of hand in a hurry.
Well, they used to never have to have fishing licenses for jubilees. And the other part of it that really is probably not part of this bill is that when you turn 65, like I am, you don't have to have, legally have to have a fishing license, but now you have to call and report and do it online and have a paper fishing license, even though they don't charge you for it. It's ridiculous. You should just have to have your driver's license.
That incident happened in your neck of the woods.
Oh, right here, yeah. I'm about 2 miles south of the Grand Hotel. And so there are a lot of people who really were really highly offended by what happened.
Wow. Hey, Mike, when you're that close to where jubilees occur, you know, on this side, it's like, well, we got quite a haul if we want to make it. But
yeah.
But how quickly do you, I mean, when you hear, hey, jubilee, You got to get down there pretty quickly, I would imagine.
Well, I got some friends that live on the bay, and they'll call me up and say it looked like a Jubilee coming in, but I've gotten to the point where I don't really, I'm not really after the flounder. I live on Bailey's Creek, so a lot of times the mullet will get up and ball up right near the bridge, and I like to throw for the mullet right there.
And if, for those listening that don't know what we're talking about,
yeah,
we can explain very quickly what a Jubilee is.
Right, yeah. So it's, you know, when the salinity of the water, and I'm going to totally butcher this,
but
my ham-handed way of understanding, yeah, the salinity of the water just results in basically fish float, not necessarily a fish kill, although if they float long enough, they do eventually die, but that's the bare bones, and I'm sure someone's tearing me up on the text line over my explanation.
Well, there's a lot of low oxygen water because the water gets still, so yeah, it's not aerated. So the water on the top is still oxygenated some, but the water down on the bottom is not.
Right, oxygenation,
so all the
not
feeders
salinity.
And the shrimp and the flounder and the crabs and everything else come up real close trying to get oxygen.
Well, you live in a slice of paradise over there, Michael. So good for you. I love that area. It's fantastic. So,
well, call up Senator Elliott's 99. Well, over here it's 990-4615, and thank him for bringing this up. And
well,
just
yeah,
voice your opinion,
because mm-hmm,
that's what made this bill come up in the first place.
Yeah, and
all in their offices.
Senator Elliott will be on with Jeff Poore today at 10:30. So we appreciate your call, Mike.
Yes, sir.
I did find that other text, and thank you, Rock and Roll Doctor. He sent me another one to put it at the top of the stack. Said, how does the no license for Jubilee law delineate between a real Jubilee and an algae bloom?
Ooh.
One man's use of the term Jubilee is different than another's, and Rock and Roll Doctor says Matt Simpson is creating more problems rather than less with this stupid bill. So, like I said, a lot of folks who are often on the same side of...
Wait. There's like... partial Jubilees or half a Jubilee or like partly sunny as opposed to a blue skies and no clouds?
I guess if you start arguing with someone, hey, well,
is that a Jubilee or is that not?
Right. That's what he's saying would be a tough line to draw.
I didn't know that. I thought it either happened or it did not.
Now, what'll be interesting is when our representatives from the South who know about this kind of thing start trying to explain it and debate it with legislators from the North.
Yeah, well, you heard my opinion on some legislators from the North, and we'll keep it off the air, but I
didn't hear that.
I forgot. Stephen McNair about a guy from, I don't know, I forget the name of the, Albertville it might have been, but anyway. Yeah, that was my assessment of some of those. And I've talked to people who have been in the legislation from down here up in... I won't name names up in Montgomery, and they said if you can get stuff through their thick heads,
yeah,
then you can legislate successfully anyway.
Well, you talk about a thick head. I've sat in that room for probably Sean talking about Jubilees at least 18 hours of my life. And you said, what's a Jubilee? And I'm like, I really, it's kind of all above my head.
You notice I didn't say, let me explain what a Jubilee is. I tossed it at you.
I just know what happens.
Yes.
I don't know why it happens.
No, that's all right. But that's what I just wanted to explain that to the virgin ear that might be driving here or maybe on vacation.
It only happens here and they say in Japan.
Yep.
The only two places in the world.
Yep.
Coming up, Jeff Poore Show, Todd Stacey in hour number one. Also, State Senator Chris Elliott, who we were just talking about, in hour two. And Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth in hour number three, who may have his eyes set on the governor's position in a couple years.
I want everyone in Mobile, at least, to have your eyes set on the road that is in front of you, because in the last several days, there are things that have been happening. I saw the man dressed in green running around traffic on 165 northbound. That was on Wednesday afternoon, maybe.
That was Tuesday. Then
that was Tuesday.
And Wednesday.
That just kicked it off.
Yeah, Wednesday, I-10 shut down for some time, and that more of a tragic story with Aaliyah finding a body. But then yesterday, that skid steer situation, absolutely insane on I-10. And then a man dressed as either the Hamburglar or a criminal. Directing traffic on Airport Boulevard yesterday afternoon. Hey, let's do this.
Maybe he's an escapee.
You have 1 hour before tickets go on sale at Ticketmaster.com for Kansas 38 Special and the Outlaws at the Wharf. It's a Friday night show in June. Right now, caller number 3 at 251-343-0106. Tickets to see Kansas 38 Special and the Outlaws June 20th at the Wharf. Tickets go on sale at 10 at Ticketmaster.com. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6.